Welcome to Historically St. Pete. It's time for Rui Farias, the Executive Director of St. Petersburg Museum of History, to take us back in time. Pathway to Eternity, Life, Death, and Afterlife on the Nile. And he's going to talk to us about an Egyptian mummy and so much more. Welcome, Rui.
Welcome. Glad to be here. Listeners, listen, you're in for a treat today. And we... It never fails. At least two or three times a week, I get an email or a call or someone's at the front desk. And the question is always, why does a Florida museum have a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy? She is our oldest resident, and we were known for old residents for a while, right? But kidding aside, we have this treasure, this Egyptian treasure that arrived here actually 100 years ago and has been on display here at the museum since 1925.
So this is very interesting. I see, as I look around, I see a throne and I see a sarcophagus. Give us a visual of what we see in this room in the St. Petersburg Museum of History.
Well, let's talk about how she got here, and that gives you a better idea of why we have these things here. Back in the day, we discovered that there was a boat, and it was actually like a floating museum that was traveling around the Gulf. It had come down the Mississippi River. It's made its way to Florida, and it had its claim to fame was like the world's largest fish that was ever caught that was on display on this boat. And it did have the mummy on the boat as well. It arrived here in St. Petersburg, and the story goes that the boat was in need of repairs. When it was there at the port of St. Pete down at near Bayborough Harbor, the boat was repaired. The captain didn't have enough money to pay for the repairs. So in exchange for the bill, the captain gave the dockmaster the 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy, an Egyptian sarcophagus, right, and an Egyptian severed head. So the mummified head, obviously. So the dockmaster, actually, the story goes, had this on display where people would pay a nickel a person, right, to come have a look at the mummy. And then when he had the bill paid, donated the mummy, the sarcophagus, and the severed mummified head to the Museum of History. So this was in 1925. So this is the centennial of the mummy actually arriving here. So when you walk into the gallery, the very first thing that you'll notice is the sarcophagus, which is probably about 10 feet tall, 8 feet tall maybe, made out of cypress that was actually used at one time. And then, of course, we have the mummy in a climate-controlled case for people to see. There are other artifacts around the room. Those two are the actual artifacts that are real. And one of the things that people always look at is we have a really cool exact replica of King Tut's throne. And the reason we have that is because, gosh, this is like pre-COVID, right? Some years back, there was folks from the History Channel arrived in St. Petersburg to meet with a company called Creative Arts, which builds museum exhibits. And they had built our baseball exhibit. So the Creative Arts folks brought them to the museum to see the baseball exhibit because the History Channel was going to create a TV show called Museum Men. And they were going to use it's basically a story of building museum exhibits, right? And so they came to the museum, they saw the baseball exhibit, and they toured the museum, and then they left. So the next day, Creative Arts calls and says, okay, forget about the baseball exhibit. The History Channel wants to do something with the mummy. So they came up with a plan to create an entire exhibit that was basically a King Tut exhibit. They built replica, the tiered tomb that King Tut was in, his throne, his death mat, all these things, right? That was King Tut-ish. And of course, our Egyptian mummy was the centerpiece of that exhibit. So we had that exhibit for a while. And then, it like all museum exhibits, they're changed out. We were the pilot show of that History Channel Museum Men program. And this had to be like 2017, 2016, maybe even earlier than that. And I kid you not, about a month ago, my neighbor had just returned from Brazil, and he goes, "Hey, I saw you on TV with some King Tut mummy thing, so it's still running around the world about our you know, our mummy here in St. Pete." So you come in, you'll see the sarcophagus again, which is real. You'll see other artifacts that are replicas of Egyptian, you know, a death scroll, and a couple other pieces. But to be honest, the really cool thing about this exhibit is what the exhibit does itself. We've done a lot. The file on our Egyptian mummy is like, you know, volumes thick of documents. You know, there was one time where the idea maybe was to send it back to Egypt. The museum board was kind of against that because they wanted to keep the mummy. And then they made the decision to go ahead and see if Egypt was interested in receiving the mummy back. And by this time, I think the Egyptian government had received probably thousands of mummies that came back to them. And they basically said, no, as long as you take care of her properly and do what you're supposed to do, right, you can display her. So, and displaying is the key thing. We did some research. I read through all the Smithsonian stuff on basically how to care for a mummified person. And we had some help from the Smithsonian back in the 80s on how to care for the mummy. But basically it said that mummies should never be, or mummified people should never be displayed in a oddity, circus, sideshow type of display. It should always, you know, be respectful to the person and Egypt. So what we decided to do is we put together, and Jesse Breckenridge, who was our archives and collections manager back then, did a lot of ancient Egypt work while she was in college. So she actually curated this exhibit. And we put together an exhibit that tells the story of ancient Egypt all the way through to the whole mummification process. And we've got these cool touch screens that are hanging in the walls where people can scroll through and learn all this stuff. But one of the coolest things is that these are connected to a website that are now accessible by Pinellas County teachers. So they can actually use these in the classroom when they're teaching world history and talking about Egypt.
So I'm looking here at Our Lady of the Nile, which is what it's titled. And, you know, I did not know that the practice of mummification was not just in Egypt. It was also in China and Asia, the Incas in South America, and, you know, the Egyptians in North Africa. And they had them resting with special treasures. And, King Tut had priceless objects. What do we know about the Lady of the Nile, what she might have had buried with her?
Well, they didn't find, at least when she came to us, she did not have any treasures or jewels. And what they used to do is they used to basically make incisions and put them inside their bodies. Well, she has an incision there, but there were no jewels found on her. And unfortunately, what happened back in the 1920s, before and especially after the discovery of the King Tut tomb, Egypt was raided, and a lot of these mummies were basically stolen, and they ended up everywhere. And, you know, we've got these pretty amazing photographs in our archives of Egyptians actually having mummies stacked up on the side of the road, selling them to tourists. So people used to do all kinds of things, like they thought that these mummies had magical powers, so they would grind them up and they would either make tea out of them or actually snort the dust from the mummies. It was pretty awful what happened in the 1920s and 30s to Egyptian culture when it came to mummified people. Our mummy, we figured, and it wasn't us, we actually had people come in to do some research on her. We wanted to make sure she was real because, you know, she did come from a floating museum, basically. They call themselves a museum, but in my mind, it probably was like a traveling sideshow type of thing. She ran through some CAT scans, and she actually was too big. And she's in a coffin. She's on display in a coffin inside a case. The coffin is not hers, of course. The coffin dates back to the 1800s. So whoever took her put her inside this coffin to display her. We really didn't want at the time to remove her from the coffin, just because of how brittle that she appeared to be. So we couldn't find at that time a CT machine big enough. So they had to use one that they use for dolphins, to do a CAT scan. So they indeed did verify that she's a little over 3,000 years old. It is a woman, and she passed away sometime in her 30s. And when you look at her, she's very tiny. She's probably maybe four and a half feet tall. But when you look at her, she still has hair and teeth, which is just amazing. When you look at the mummification process that was used that they, did all those years ago.
You know, I love the fact that even the middle class and the poor commonly had, if not jewelry, tools, baskets, standard Egyptian funeral. It's a sign of respect, mummification. And the fact that we can stand here in 2025 and look at this mummy and experience this, it's amazing. Talk to me about the hieroglyphics on the wall, because, this is some of the first writing ever in the history of man and woman.
It is, and we wanted to make everything as authentic as possible. And again, when you come in the exhibit and you touch the touch screen, that one of the touch screens that's on the wall, it takes you through everything from the whole pyramids and tours to the mummification process to pharaohs and figures. And it also talks about the hieroglyphics, what they meant, the language of that was used back in that time period. So it is a truly an educational piece talking about life in Egypt during that time.
So Rui, I love Brendan Fraser in The Mummy. And you have this thing on the screen. It's called Egyptomania. Tell us about this.
So this is a thing that people remember or know of. I mean, you learn about ancient Egypt in school, you maybe spend a few days on it or a week on it if you're lucky in world history. But what people remember are the mummy films. Now, I'm a little older, right? So my introduction to these mummy movies were Abbott and Costello, and I used to love them. And Abbott and Costello met the mummy, of course. We always, saw the picture of the big guy wrapped, in the white wrappings, his arms extended, chasing people. But we wanted not only to talk about the ancient history, but how this whole thing, the idea of mummification, about mummies, has carried on for thousands of years, right? That the interest is still there, and that just the popularity of the Brendan Fraser movies obviously tells you that. So, we talk about even from from the Bengals song, like Walk Like an Egyptian, that came out in the 80s, to the Brendan Fraser movies, to even Steve Martin, if you're old enough to remember, the King Tut skits on Saturday Night Live. And then of course, Indiana Jones, right? So we wanted to talk about all of that, and it's it is from people removing mummies and other things from tombs in Egypt, the Victorian obsession with King Tut, and then, of course, Boris Karloff, right, as the mummy. You can't – if you love old films, you have to see that one. It's a great mummy movie.
Unbelievable. I actually want to talk also about cats. Cats and Egyptomania go hand in hand, don't they?
They do. And if you look at a lot of the hieroglyphics that we have on the wall, if you look at the death scroll, if you look at basically even King Tut's tomb, everywhere you see cats everywhere on their objects and their art.
Rui, what else is coming up? You told me that in addition to this, which is a permanent exhibition, there are some amazing exhibits coming up. Just give us a little highlight of a couple that are coming this fall.
So we're changing out our art archive exhibit. So we have an exhibit space in the museum where we basically showcase the history of art in St. Petersburg. The first part of it was just that, how the art schools that start back in 1907 start the art movement in St. Pete. So that is going to be leaving, and we're building a new exhibit called Visual Voices, which is the story or the history of public art in St. Petersburg, because it's much more than just outdoor murals that people are used to now, you know, dating way back to the WPA times of the 20s and 30s that happened here in St. Pete. So that's going to be opening in mid-September. And just after that, in our main gallery, which now houses the American Soldier exhibit. So if you haven't seen it, you've got about a month to catch that before it goes away. But in that main gallery, we're going to have an exhibit called Wish You Were Here. And it's the story of basically Florida tourism. So that's going to be a really fun, you know, we'll talk about roadside attractions and all the ridiculous alligator farms and everything else that happened in Florida, mostly in the 40s, 50s, and 60s to bring people here to Florida.
And I know that there is a whole list of happy hour with the historian. I think you're doing one. I think Bill DeYoung is doing one. Tell us a little bit about the trolley tours coming up. I think Civil Rights is next.
We do. We have a civil rights tour coming up. We have a historic baseball tour coming up. Of course, we have our waterfront history boat tour that we do every month with Tampa Bay Watch, which is, you know, let's face it, 2 hours on the water. You can't beat that. Plus, you get to learn some history, have some fun. So we have a lot of activities. So all you've got to do is go to historystpete.org. We have a full schedule of everything for the rest of the year. One event we do have coming up actually in November, but tickets are already going pretty fast for it, is an event we started called History in a Bottle. It is a tasting of a spirit, but we're doing it November 1st, and it's actually going to be wine. So it'll be a wine and food tasting. We just had one for whiskey that was sold out. Tremendous. Sharon Mahoney from Events by the Glass actually does it for us, does an amazing job. So that's just a fun time.
And shout out to Sharon, who just opened Savoir on Central. Rui, we want to thank you. Radio St. Pete hosts Historically St. Pete every Monday during the noon hour. Rui, thanks so much for being here with us. And once again, history is not something old. It's new.
Thank you so much for having us, folks. Listen, we're looking forward to having you here to explore our history at the museum.